Hello, and welcome back to Crescent Moon Kids podcast, where we discuss all things child-related and parenting. So recently, I was thinking about birthdays, upcoming holidays that are celebrated around the world, and this led to my thoughts about gift-giving and the types of gifts we generally give to our kids or our grandkids or kids that we love. And then I eventually landed on thoughts about what children say they want, what parents think they want, or what the children actually need. And I realized there are often many misconceptions around gift giving and receiving. And I recognize that all families have different styles and ideas for this. Some parents think kids want fancy toys and games and expensive trips, and obviously, these are all very personal decisions based within your family. And so the purpose of this sharing today is not to judge your gift giving or the choices that you make regarding the ways you share gifts with your kids and the types of gifts that you share. But I think my main point is that while you may want to share those expensive things with your kids, what they really need is more than any of those things, more than anything else, is you. They need your time. They need your undivided attention, your empathy, your concern. They need your presence. They need you to be physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually present with them. They need unconditional love and a deep, deep connection with you. And so the way that you can facilitate this is by just really finding those ways and times to be present with your child. And it means really setting aside often time so that you're not distracted. And as cliche as it might sound, children really just want your whole imperfect, connected, and empowered self. And young children especially are yet to have a reference point for any fancy paraphernalia. They only know what they've been shown to them in their immediate world. They don't know about Disneyland until you tell them. They don't know that some toys cost thousands of dollars. And they especially don't understand that trading quality time for expensive gadgets or toys. So none of those things really matter to them, because it is really critically true. They need you for that first stage of their life. They need the love, the connection, and the joy that can be shared through this human interaction. And so then I was thinking about my work and my job as a teacher, and I routinely get asked a couple of consistent questions during parent-teacher conferences. I've just sort of noticed this pattern over the years. First question, how is my child doing? Obviously, parents want to know, how's it going? What are they doing? Things like that. And the second question often is, what can we do at home to help facilitate their education or their development? And as I was reflecting on those questions, and as I have guided many students and their families over the years, I've realized that the answer to the first question is actually partially dependent upon the answer to the second question. And so the first question, how is my child doing, is partially dependent on what's happening in their home. So, i.e. number two, what are the parents doing at home? What can we do at home? And what are they doing at home? And so I know that this can feel like a huge responsibility, even a weight, as a parent, to think about how much influence you have over your children. And which is especially true when they're very young. And as they get older, they pull away, but they still need you. They're preparing to leave, but then they pull back and they leave again and then they pull back. And so the parenting definitely comes with buckets of responsibility and also bushels and bushels of joy and love. So as you can hopefully make peace with the fact that you are the primary influence of your young child, I think it's wise to learn how to create the most positive experiences for your whole family. So offering up time and space for connection, for interaction, playing and working together is absolutely the best gift you can give your children, whether it's actually a true gift or it's just simply living your life. So later in the podcast, I wanted to share with you some ideas for gifting your time and energy as an actual birthday or holiday gift. So now I'd like to delve into the reasons why children need our time and attention. But that would take probably a lot of episodes. And so suffice it to say that we know from both experience and from research that as mammals, which we are, we nurture our young and the offspring thrive when that need is fulfilled. And if you look at other mammals in the natural world, the parent, the mother often is the primary teacher, the primary model and the nurturer. And so we can see this throughout the world and how critically important it is for a child to feel this connection. And I think now, especially more than ever, because of so much that's happened in our world and our culture regarding the pandemic and how kids have been disconnected in so many ways. And so I think this is a really critical time to sort of reevaluate how are we connecting with our kids. So what are some of the ways you can meet your child's needs? So keep in mind, children need real experiences. And so I want to go out on a limb here a little bit and suggest a couple of ways that really do not qualify. So in my opinion, playing video games, watching movies is not actually meeting criteria that I shared earlier. So during those times that you're not focused on giving your child attention, the attention is on the screen. You're not giving them eye contact or meaningful touch or connect through dialogue. So while you may be sitting near each other, maybe often touching each other, the focus is on an external device. So that being said, I realize screens and devices do have places in our homes and our lives. I'm just simply recommending that you don't count that time as quality time and the gift of time and attention your kids need. So next, I wanted to share some ideas sort of as a Kickstarter for you in case you're challenged to think of ways to give your kids time and attention. So some people know that my kids are all grown. Some of my listeners know me. But when they were little and still at home, we would find multitudes of ways to share time and energy. And so I compiled just a brief list of a few things that we used to do when my kids were at home. So first one, we would have dance contests. So we called it a contest. It wasn't really a contest, but our whole family enjoyed oldies at the time when the kids were growing up. So we would put on an oldies station. Everybody would pile on the couch, and then we would all take turns showing dance moves. And again, we didn't really judge or have a contest per se, but we would just have fun laughing and talking, expressing ourselves through movement. And this would often consume a whole evening for us when the kids were little. The second thing that I wanted to share was something like going sledding. We would go behind our house where we have hills. And when they were really little, we would sit with them. As they got older, they would go down on the sled by themselves. But we would compare the aerodynamics or the gravity or the timing or the slickness and things like that. And so it was totally a family experience, and we were connected and interacting in those ways. Also, in the winter months, we would belong to a swim club. So we would take our kids swimming pretty much all winter. And they learned how to swim very quickly by swimming year round. So eventually then we had our own pool, but it was a great time for us as a family to take turns diving, take turns jumping in, take turns, figuring out who could go underwater the longest or things like that, where we were actually, again, interacting with our kids, or even if it was just sitting down for snacks and dinner as we took a swim break. The next thing, even when you think about the work that you need to do in your home or maybe jobs, we would have cleaning days where we would try to just sort of encourage them and engage them in the work, but make it fun. So I would have a job basket. I put slips of paper listing some of the chores for the week. And these were tailored to the kids' ages and abilities. So some of the jobs included sweeping the floor, dusting the end tables, cleaning the toilet, mopping the floor, things like that. And so everyone in the family would draw out a slip, read their job. Then they could negotiate with another family member if someone else was willing to trade, which is also, again, another way to create interaction. And then we would spend about an hour completing each job, and then we would try to make it a point to do something fun afterwards. And so I always saw this as a perfect opportunity to share in the responsibilities, for the kids to learn how to do things for themselves, and to really get them engaged. And so even if you have a cleaning service, which many people do, it's still good for your kids to engage with the household chores so that they learn responsibility and so that they learn how to do these things, even if they pay someone to do it as an adult. And then sometimes after the jobs were done, we would just sit down in the living room and fold laundry together and tell stories. So the next thing, we would involve our kids again in the cooking and the cleaning. And so young kids want to help. They want to stir and chop, measure. They want to cut. They want to pour. So these are wonderful times to connect with each other, to talk, to tell stories, to share songs, to teach kids about math or science or history. And it's wonderful language enrichment as you're interacting with them. Tell them about some of the recipes grandma used to make or why certain foods are relevant in your family. It's a great way to connect them to their heritage and to the food that you all are sharing together. And so then one of the things that we did really find valuable was to travel with our kids. We wanted to keep their experiences connected to the natural areas and the natural world. So we were fortunate to have family who lived very far west. And so we would make it yearly or bi-yearly trips. And it truly was an adventure. I would create mileage bags that I would hand out to them every 100 miles or so to keep them occupied. I would give them things like a new snack, paper, pencils, travel games, Mad Libs books, little trinkets, things like that. And we would play the license plate game or the travel games like travel bingo or letter sounds or just a wide range of activities. We would also try to stop frequently, explore the areas, take any museums or natural sites. And, you know, because we didn't have screens then, we got creative. And I think it's important to engage your kids. Even if you do use screens on occasion, it's important for them to not be just immersed in a screen the whole time you're traveling, because they can learn so much along the way and you can teach them how to read a map. I still carry an atlas in my car, and I love to get it out when I travel because I think it's so important to learn about how maps are laid out and to understand that it can guide you to where you want to go. And I think a paper map is just a really great way to have an experience too, rather than just on a computer or a phone. And so it's a great way for kids to be able to keep track of where you are and how far you have to go, things like that. And then the last one that I wanted to share with you today, which is only just a small listing of things that we've done, but we would go to the library together, and the kids would have such fun picking out books and sitting down and reading them when we got home. And even though we had an extensive library of books at our home, they love to get new ones every few weeks. And reading is really, truly essential. Even as they get older, keep reading to your kids. Don't ever stop reading until they say, okay, I'm done, no more. Because there's something so magical and delicious about sharing stories, whether it's from a book or even if it's just your own personal story. Because it is important also to tell your children stories about their grandparents, your grandparents, your childhood, things like that. And really, children love stories so much that you can't do it wrong. So those are just a few ways that we would connect as a family. And obviously there's so many more that we would do or other possibilities. And whatever you decide, just make sure you ask yourself some relevant questions. Are we making eye contact? Does my child feel heard? Are we touching? Are we interacting? Are we really present with each other? Are we not being distracted? And am I giving her my undivided attention by silencing my phone, tuning into her, things like that? So those are some really critical pieces that I think we all have to be aware of, even when we're interacting with other adults. So for birthdays, holidays, you could give the gift of time. Simply print out a certificate for, let's say, a trip to the ice cream shop or to the museum or to a climbing gym, or maybe it's a specified amount of time one-on-one, especially if you have more than one child. You could give each child some really specific one-on-one time. And for holidays, instead of particular gifts like material gifts, or in addition to that, you could give your time in a charitable effort by helping someone. You could schedule couch time or sofa time. So all you have to do sometimes is just sit down and listen. Have a non-judgmental conversation about their likes and dislikes, about their thoughts, about the future. Children don't really need much. They really don't. And I'm reminded of a kid's song that says, "All I really need is a song in my heart, food in my belly, and love in my family." And that song just speaks to my heart every time I hear it. And it's a beautiful song that children love to sing. And obviously children have material needs, but this is the most critical piece. The thing that they really need is you. And maybe a few sticks, some boxes, a knife, maybe some art supplies or kitchen utensils, but along with a large dose of focused attention, because kids are happiest when they can create and feel the support of those they love the most, and when they feel like they're being seen and heard and valued. So thanks for listening. Until next time.